I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Inspired Evolution. This week we have the pleasure of having on the show Christina Mund-Lakiani. Christina is the co-founder of Mind Valley. She spearheads Mind Valley Russia. And in this conversation, we dive deep onto her principles and findings of happiness. This is a really unique conversation with a true creative entrepreneur. Welcome to the Inspired Evolution, and it is such a treat to be here today, actually an exorbitant treat to be here today. We have with us none other than Christina. Is it, how do I say Mund?
Mand.
Mand. Christina Mund-Lakiani. How are you?
I'm good. You are obviously very good.
How did you know?
I can sense anything.
For those listening into Christina for the first time, she's the co-founder of Mind Valley. She heads the Russian language sector for the company. She's also a regular consultant on the Mind Valley customer relationship building side of things and coordinates the whole customer journey for people. She's an Estonian entrepreneur. She speaks on stage many times, and it was super inspiring to hear you the other day. So thank you so much. And she has a major love for classic literature, classical music, art. She's languages is in there. There's Spanish, and she's also she's into the harp, and she's obviously a mother of two thriving little bodies, yeah. And maybe mother of three. She's also the wife division.
Definitely.
It is such a treat to have you here today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. There's so many places we could go in this conversation, obviously, having you here, and there's such a depth and an array. And I think the place I really wanted to touch was I remember Liz being at your talk, and we were talking, you mentioned something about being a perfectionist and how that didn't spell perfection. It spelled paralysis and a myriad of other things. Can you tell us a little bit about the background and where that all comes from?
I think the background is because I'm the only daughter of my parents. Uh-huh. And I don't even know how it happened, but I just happened to be a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So we studied really well in school, like really well, like really, really, really well, like Hermione well.
What a great metaphor.
Yeah. And and from then on, I had to be, you know, the model, the perfect thing, and do everything right, you know, good degrees, good university, good job. And I made my career by the age of 25. Uh-huh. My colleagues in the West were later days of their career in my position. So I was like, I was thinking, what's next? It was kind of puzzling. And that was actually about 20 years ago when I started. I was so well far in this whole perfectionist path. And I guess I was lucky because I didn't see it as a curse or anything, but I was also brave to just change things because I thought I can do anything. You know?
Yeah.
I'm so young and I've already reached so much. So I didn't hold on to the things that I had. And then life turned the other way. I ended up in New York, not allowed to work. No visa for me. Not able to find a job. Not able to find friends because everybody saw me just as Vishen's wife. So it was hard to prove myself again that I'm a perfectionist. I'm doing everything perfect. Yeah. But I guess maybe at some point you just let it go. But it's later in my life. It's probably now that I start realizing that it is a curse. Perfectionism is a curse because we hold such a high bar for ourselves. And we do things for perfectionism's sake, rather than for, you know, for what we really want. So, yeah, perfectionist spells paralysis is true for work. But when it comes to your life, I would say perfectionism is a curse, because it's the thing which prevents us from being truly happy.
So in that array of happiness, there was a lot of talking points that you had to shed on happiness. And, I was fascinated by, obviously there was the obvious one, so there's gratitude, which you said, like, just making gratitude your attitude. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Well, I when I talk about happiness, we have to go a little bit deeper. There are ways.
Let's do it. Yes.
The thing is that I think, first of all, we don't know what is happiness. It's a very subjective thing. That's why scientists refuse to research it properly, because they say, well, how do you measure happiness, right? What is happiness for one person and what is happiness for the other person? I do not have a definition for happiness for sure, but what I know is that we should not confuse happiness, joy, and fun, which seem like very similar things, because some of the things are just transient emotions, like fun, right?
Yeah.
And some of that is a state or like a default for us. So when I talk about happiness, I'm talking about the default state. What we tend to feel about our life. Are we satisfied with our life? Are we satisfied with, are we happy? Actually, if you talk, most people will say they are. But, and then there are the emotional states which change, right?
Yeah.
So when I talk about happiness and how to become happier, I'm talking about the remedies, which are long-term strategies, because we all have our little short-term things which help us to feel a little bit better in the moment.
Sure.
And, these things are good, but they also, become ineffective, in time.
And not all of them are always good, right? Like chocolate.
Chocolate is good, by the way.
Chocolate is good.
You get what you believe. The chocolate that comes out of my hands, by the way, is slimming. Everybody in the office knows that.
My girlfriend and you are going to get along just fine.
But true, there are things which can be destructive, and we tend to turn to them. And that's another interesting topic, like drinking, drugs, smoking, and medications. They are destructive generally to our body, right? And there are things which are a little healthier, like meditation, walks in the park, hanging out with friends. But in essence, there's still short-term remedies. So what we are looking into is the long-term strategies, so that it's not the mood that changes, it's the default level of happiness that changes. So gratitude is one of those things. In the short term, as a like little pill, it is not terribly strong. Because you express gratitude, and for a while you just remind yourself, yeah, there are things which are good in my life, not everything is bad. But you don't feel the ecstasy from it. Yes, I have my body. You have it. You take it by.
That seems quite convincing,
right? But the thing with gratitude is that it has the compound effect. So if you express it regularly, then you start feeling happy over time. So that's the kind of strategies I'm looking into. That's why I mentioned gratitude. It's the easiest and the easiest to explain.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I really love the, there's so much in that. Thank you so much for sharing, in that, you know, like, there are many triggers to happiness, but happiness short term is very different to raising the benchmark of, like, your steady state of happiness, and trying to really, like, make that your benchmark and your norm, and really lifting that. So there's gratitude. What else? Like,
so I have six things that I use, as examples of long-term strategies. One is gratitude. The other one is the ability to be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. And consciousness is generally the beginning of everything, because we often get stuck in our emotional states. So mm-hmm. if we have a lot of joyful moments, we tend to think like, oh, that was the happy period of our lives. And then if anything goes back, we sometimes generalize the emotions and we think that emotion is actually what is happening in our life. So consciousness in general is a very healthy thing, because that's like a pulse check. You constantly realize what's going on, that yes, maybe I'm feeling down right now, but this is an emotion which I'm just feeling right now. It doesn't mean that my life is a mess. So
having that deeper awareness.
So that's one reason why consciousness is one part of the training. The other reason is that time is an illusion, and a lot of negative emotions live either in the future or in the past. So worry, fear, they're usually the future based emotions, and any kind of sadness, regret, disappointment, a lot of them are usually past emotions. Yeah. Happiness is the thing which is in the now. So this being in the present moment is another technique which helps us to lift this bar of happiness. And again, it doesn't have this effect.
Yeah. In the moment, but yeah.
You feel a little bit better, but you generally don't feel ecstasy from just realizing that, oh, wow, I'm sitting here, I have this beautiful cup of tea, I'm having a nice company, and, you know, you feel better, but it doesn't solve all your problems.
It's not zing, it's just like it's very mellow in that in its effect. And it's, I struggled with depression for about 5 to 7 years, and I realized that a lot of that, exactly as you mentioned, it was about spending more and more time in the past. And now working with people in a similar sort of space, I realize that anxiety and depression are very heavily linked, because we can't spend time in the present. Anxiety is literally just spending more and more time about the future, and depression is just spending so much more time in the past. But as soon as you can sort of try to cultivate just spending more and more time in the present, you have less depressing thoughts and less anxious thoughts as well.
And another thing is that we sometimes miss the happiness. Like the example that I bring about the present moment is I have a business and I have children, and we have our routines. So one of the routines is that I put them to sleep and I sing. And singing is a very comfortable thing, because they hear my voice, but because I know the words, I can think about other things while I sing. Sometimes I think about the right things. But, I remember this one night when I'm singing my kids to sleep, and I have a 6-year gap between the first and the second child, so I know how fast time goes with kids. And I'm singing them to sleep, and I'm thinking, oh, I need to record that video, vlog or whatever. So I started thinking, what am I supposed to say? And then suddenly I realized that this is ridiculous and this is stupid, because I'm not recording that video. I'm not solving any problem right now. I'm just thinking about something which I'm going to do after I'm done here. But what I'm doing is that I'm not noticing the most precious moment in parenthood life, putting two clean, not yelling, tired kids to sleep.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. Thank you for sharing that. I think that really paints the picture. I think so many of us are often thinking about the next thing, and that is such a beautiful moment, right? When you're spending it with your kids and you're singing to them.
I actually dropped it off because I was supposed to give 6, right? And now I've given 2. Do you want me to go on with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
So it was gratitude. It was the being in the present. Uh-huh. Then just recently I added the relationships into the mix.
Yes.
And
connection.
I was very reluctant to do that. But you see, all the medical scientists point, the biggest connection between our levels of happiness in the long term is actually with the quality of relationships that we have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So it is a very important point. Why I was reluctant to do that was because in personal growth, you take responsibility for everything onto yourself.
Extreme responsibility.
So this was the thing which was complicated to integrate into my training, but it also gave me opportunities to discover other areas. Because you have to marry the whole thing of, you know, my happiness depends on my family, on my children, on my husband, on my parents, on my friends. But everything in my life depends on me, right?
Yeah.
So this is one third. And then the fourth one is forgiveness.
Mm.
Maybe I'm going in wrong direction, but it doesn't. I mean, wrong order, but it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Forgiveness is definitely one of the very important techniques that we need to learn.
Yeah.
Then it's self-love. You have to have a relationship with yourself. And the last one is actually dealing with the negative emotions, because we cannot deny the fact that there will be things happening in our life. And in fact, you know, what would our life be if there was no negativity? Would there be day if there was no night? It's an old thing.
That's such a deep one, isn't it? I find it really fascinating that... I think that was one of the most powerful aspects of the talk for me personally, which was, you know, often I try to cultivate a happier mindset, you know, and try to cultivate happiness and just joy in general. You know, it's if something feels right, especially being on an entrepreneurial journey, it's like follow your bliss a lot more. Mm-hmm. You know, your intuition is leading you to your bliss. Keep following that path. But then sometimes something will hit you and it's unavoidable. You know, mm-hmm. It's like not that it's unavoidable, but yeah, like let's say something happens.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. And so let's say like touch wood, you know, something happens to your parents, you know, and it's all of a sudden you have to go through that. You can see that there's like that natural sort of tendency to like, okay, but I'll follow my bliss and what feels good. But then if nothing feels good, navigating your way through that. And I think that was so profound because you were sharing so deeply on happiness, mm-hmm. but it was like the depth of actually going all the way into your sadness is a necessity or something.
Well, if you're trying to focus on following your bliss in the moment when you're having hard times, you're doing a very simple thing, which is called spiritual bypassing.
Yeah.
Psychologists have known that for decades. Mm-hmm. So it's not a very healthy tactics, of course. But I have to actually straight away warn people that I am not a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a doctor.
Yeah,
so exactly. I don't give any diagnosis or like opinions about the diseases. So when you mentioned like depression, I would be completely at a loss what to say.
Yeah.
I'm just sharing my own experience.
Yeah.
And my own experience is... we can all be happy in the happy, but if we can be okay in the unhappy and get back to happy after that, that's the art of being happy, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So is that more about fulfillment or is that more about acceptance?
I would say that it's for every person, it's their own thing. And I guess in different times of life, it's different things. Like, let's say if you're young, probably love is happiness for you. When you're in a certain age, probably having the family is happiness for you. Like for women, maybe having the family is the highest like expression of happiness. But for men, maybe following the mission. And I'm not trying to be sexist, but I believe that for different people, for different stages in life, we might have slightly different variation of happiness.
Your values change over life, of course.
But
right?
For me, the underlying principle is that when I wake up in the morning, I'm excited about my life and I have something to look forward to. And I generally live so that the day when I'm about to die, I'm like, I lived a good life. It wasn't wasted. And I'm not waiting for that day because I'm excited. But I might be mistaken. Maybe if someone else said something else. You know, here I just can't avoid bringing in the talk, TEDx talk by, actually not TEDx, TED talk by... Susan David. And she said that there is no such thing as positive and negative emotions. There are emotions that we crave more and there are emotions we are trying to avoid. And they're not necessarily plus minus side. And sometimes if you take one emotion, like a fear, right? We don't like fear. But when I go on stage and I don't feel a little bit of this fear and excitement, I know that I'm not in my best to go on stage. So at that moment, before speeches on stage, I actually want to feel that. That I wouldn't
the
want.
Anxiety. A little bit.
In certain situations.
Yeah, right.
And then when I get off stage, the level of satisfaction, if I've been a little bit excited, is way higher than if I just went on stage and just did my routine.
Oh.
So I don't want to talk too often on stage because I don't want it to turn into routine. So, but if we are talking about love, it's even more striking because we all want love, right? But what kind of love do we want? Do we want the love, the kind of love that we feel in the Mindvalley community? You know, I love everyone. You know, let me hug you. You know, how's it? Or are we talking about the love where you feel actually connection to one person and you're scared that that person can hurt you? And that love, a lot of people don't want. So that's
they think they want it.
That's the whole idea. What is positive? What is negative emotion? There are emotions that we want more of, and emotions which we want less of.
So that's like busting through the labels, right? Of like, again, life is already constructed with so many labels, and I think there's a big message, but from Mindvalley in that as well, right? Which is try not to label things, and you know, try not to buy into bullshit rules behind things as well, right? So like, those are just labels as negative, positive, and I think it's really poetic because it's really trying to embrace all the colors of life and not getting too hung up on getting like stuck in, you know, labeling it as good or bad and then trying to avoid it or staying or like trying to attract yourself to it. In your advice, do you have any advice for like what's the best way to move through things, like so you can, you know?
Oh, that's
just from your
from the you mean dealing with negative, right?
Yeah, just dealing with emotions in general.
Well, like
this comes from the context of obviously being an entrepreneur and, you know, traveling so much, being a mother, running a company.
That's the question. Do you want emotions or do you not want emotions? What kind of emotions do you want? We have to be a little bit clearer on that. And sometimes we are confused as well. So, you know, some people like confusion, others don't. There is actually a general consensus on which emotions are more productive and which are less. So, for example, shame and guilt are really bad emotions, but sometimes guilt can move you into doing the right things, right? And the highest emotions are considered like joy, gratitude, enlightenment, peacefulness. So there is a scale.
With different colors and different frequencies.
Yeah, I like the scale. Yeah. It's really nice. It's a good guideline. But again, we shouldn't say this is good, this is bad, because everything has the reason. I like to compare emotions to our physical body because that makes it easier. Every emotion feels somewhere in my physical body, right? And also, if you think there is a disease where people don't feel pain, and it is a disease because when you don't feel pain, you do not know where to pay attention. So the same with emotions. If emotions is our physical body, if you feel pain, it's usually the sign that you have to pay attention to that area of your life because something is off here. It's like if you didn't feel pain, you could lose a leg and not notice it until you're taking off your shoes, right?
Makes sense.
So emotions, both painful and positive, are there for a reason. Yeah. And if you go into psychology, actually, if you try to be perfectionist, you are supposed to be neutral. Feel neither sadness nor extreme joy, right? Like joy in a very peaceful way. And then you don't feel the passion. You don't feel the things which are
human.
And the question is then, why did we come on planet Earth?
Yeah.
If our goal is to be as zen as possible in a nirvana, then we might just as well die right now and connect with the source and be there.
Interesting.
If we are here, we are here to get an experience, and sometimes that experience is maybe painful. And then what do you do with that painful experience? There are a lot of teachings. So when it comes to forgiveness, then there are it's a completely different area and topic. I will not go into that because it's much deeper. But with negative emotions, I know Sedona method is very good. One of our authors, Gelling Tupton, talks beautifully, and he's coming, and I'm so excited. Yeah. He talks beautifully about meditating into pain and accepting it. So there are a lot of different methods, but in classical psychology, what they suggest is, first of all, when you get an extreme emotion, you don't take any action. You usually only do any kind of moving on actions, solutions after your emotion has subsided. You just don't deal with things at the height of the emotion. So then another thing is that you have to accept the emotion, right? You have to accept that it is happening. You have to name it. If you can name emotion as precisely as you can, it's good. It's because you're accepting it. And here we are touching upon this whole idea of spiritual bypassing. If you have an emotion and you don't accept it, you don't want to name it properly, there are three options. You either lie to yourself and you name it something else. You feel shame and guilt, but you say like, you give it a different name just to feel better. Or you feel anger and you say, oh, I'm just concerned about you, right? Or you feel disgust and you're like, oh, you make me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. This is called whitewashing. You're not dealing with your emotion. You're trying to to skim the surface and say, I'm dealing with it, but actually you're not going deep enough. Another option is to deny that it does not exist.
Mm.
And you know, like, oh no, but I'm perfectionism, you know? My perfect picture is to be zen and happy and loving. So if I feel anger, I don't accept that I feel anger.
Yeah.
I want to feel happy. So I deny that emotion. It does not exist. And the third one is when you're trying to move on through it very quickly. You kind of accept that it is there, but you don't deal with that.
Yeah.
You just push on.
Right.
And that's exactly why I said that in psychology, they suggest you have to get your emotions back to a regular state before you move on. With doing some action based on what happened, right?
Mm.
So these three options are all called spiritual bypassing. And if you go into that, what happens is that emotion is not going anywhere. It's in your body, right?
Yeah.
And it short circuits and it stays there. And the more layers of denial or lie you put on it, like, oh, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I love everyone, it's still there. It's still... It doesn't help.
Yeah.
So eventually it will explode.
Yeah, right.
So you have to deal with that. That's the point.
Deal with your emotions. So I'm fascinated as to... this must have surely, like, this awareness definitely supports your work in the way that you show up every day, right? Like, learning to navigate through all the emotions, obviously being, like, co-founder of Mindvalley and all the other stuff, like the mother, like, even just mothers. Like, a friend of mine just became a mother and we're quite young and watching her, like, just how much her life completely changed and how full-time the job of a mother is, you know, and then running a company with that and then also being a wife and traveling the world and facilitating all that you do and speaking and stuff. The emotional work, is it an integral piece to being...
Well, I wouldn't be talking about that if I had not experienced it firsthand, right?
Exactly, yeah. So
I'm sharing my own experiences.
Yeah.
I've been in personal growth for 15 years and I hear a lot of... I've been to a lot of events. I've heard a lot of authors.
Uh-huh.
I've talked to a lot of people. So we usually pick up on what is necessary for us. So if I'm talking about that, that means that I've been through all of that.
Yeah.
But then I like this I like this quote by Harvey. He says, there is no big problem, there's just little you. if you have a problem, it's an opportunity to grow. So it's interesting because I'm a very intuitive person. I'm an artist and a woman and I'm a parent. So my intuition is super strong. My perception of emotions and feelings is super strong. And sometimes it bothers me. It's like, you know, it's when you watch superhero movies and the superhero discovers a power and they don't know how to deal with that. So rather than flying nicely, they like jet off and then, you know, hit the wall.
Mm.
That's how I sometimes feel myself. Like I have so many ways to perceive life.
Yeah.
And how do I learn to process it and not, because our bodies are fragile. And as I said, emotions feel in our bodies.
Mm.
And doctors will tell you that your emotions can cause certain diseases.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm on the path to learn my superpower.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's happening.
Amazing. Watch this space. I really want to have this conversation before we weave out of this is like happiness and obviously dealing with your emotions. And there's this whole side of emotions and creativity, because I know you know, like you said, you're an intuitive and you understand energy a little bit. And there's also the whole idea of like, you love music.
Yeah.
Right. And so again and again, you know, just timelessly, music has been such an integral part of people processing and accepting and, you know, that art and creative. Like, what does creativity mean to you?
Well, I'm odd. I know that playing harp will get me, like, if I'm stressed and I play harp, it will get me back into one piece. I know that if I start drawing, and I draw a lot, I love drawing, I will also detach from everything and I live in that work. Yet I generally do not resort to those things when I'm in a bad moment. I'm much more in my head. But that's just my weirdness.
Sure.
I tend to turn to art in my happy place, and that's unusual.
Mm.
Most artists have the interesting belief that they have to suffer to to create, but I don't really think so.
Yeah.
So in my case, art is more a happy thing rather than in any way connected to
processing through certain things.
Yes.
Right.
So I would maybe represent certain emotions in art, but generally not in the moment of pain,
sure.
Right? Or in the moment of like confusion or whatever,
yeah.
Generally. But this is just me because I don't live with my art. I don't earn money with art.
Mm.
when it comes to consuming art, this is a slightly different thing. Mm. Like, I'm very audio, and I love music because music can create different modes in me.
Completely, yeah.
And it kind of, they say that all the emotions have certain vibrations. So music definitely is that thing. Mm. So, but at least for me, probably not for everyone. So if I need to... if I need to create a certain state, usually music helps me. But that's consuming art, not producing it. So for me, creativity, for me personally, is just my happy place. But I'm just the way I am. For other people, it may be something else.
Awesome. And so just as we're slightly weaving this out, is there a message in your heart about perhaps something about emotions? And I know that's such a dear topic to you. Is there something that you really want to share about this?
It's interesting that it seems like it's a dear topic to me. I just think that this is the crucial thing about learning how to live.
Right.
I started with happiness, just how to teach people how to be happy. And then it just went deeper and deeper. And forgiveness was one part of it, because forgiveness is necessary. But then I realized that, you know, the negativity should be there as well. And then more and more attention grew into that. So recently, I remember I once came off the stage and then somebody came and said, you know, I was so reluctant to listen to that because I was thinking like, oh my God, another person comes and starts telling me about you. And then you suddenly come and all you talk about is dark.
Yeah, like real shit.
But it just evolved like that. And because I'm intuitive, I let it be like that, because maybe I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing because the whole world is struggling with that. Mm. And I'm just letting it through me so that I can put it in a certain structure and give permission to other people to not be perfect, to be on the path of transformation and say, you know, I'm messed up. And it's okay because I'll be fine. And I've noticed that in personal growth, because personal growth has been on the rise for let's say 20 years, we have this curse of perfectionism. And the message which, because we publish a lot of authors, the message that audience loves the most is the permission to just be you.
Yeah.
Be imperfect. Yeah. This is what people crave. Can you please allow me to be a bad mom? You know? A lousy... Yeah. Maybe I'm not a lousy human being, but can I be lousy in this moment?
Yeah. And that self-acceptance and just allowing yourself to be again and again. And that comes back to a couple of the points, right? Like being in the present moment. Beautiful. Is there anything else before we weave out that you want to share with anyone? Because I've got a question. It's my favorite question.
I'll ask a question.
My favorite question to ask, and it's my last question, by no means my least question, is beyond the skin suit, beyond the creativity, beyond the companies, beyond the family, beyond all of that, who is Christina?
I wish I knew. And I'll be very honest, because I am in a very confusing state right now, because I'm rediscovering certain parts of my life. I don't know why it happened, so it just happened. And I realized recently that I do not give myself permission to just be in a mess sometimes, because there's a lot of responsibility. There's audience who looks at you. There is, you know, your family who needs you happy. And it's interesting because, usually how I finish my talk is with this quote, the answer that Dalai Lama gave me personally when I asked him, you know, I have to give the whole story. I used to work with the refugees in Asia. And parallel to that, we were building Mind Valley, which is essentially about how to live extraordinary life, how to be happy and fulfilled and everything. So for me, I had a huge cognitive dissonance, because I see misery and I have to build a school for humanity, right? So I asked Dalai Lama, what do I do with that? How do I reconcile these things? And he said very simply, he said, you can't help anyone if you're not happy. So I guess I've been perfectionist with myself for many years, because I go on stage and I get myself into a state to explain what happiness is about. But am I always allowing myself to go through those processes? Or am I allowing myself to go through those processes in an environment where I'm not infecting anyone else?
Yeah.
So the question is, isn't that a perfectionism when you don't dare to show the world that you are a mess?
There it is again. Yeah.
So there is still so much to discover, and I have no idea who I am. I'm just a weird thing going through something which I don't fully understand.
Time and space continuum.
And trying to make sense out of that, and through making sense out of that, maybe help someone else to just realize that, you know, we are here to let life through us and not past us.
Thank you so much for your honesty, your authenticity, and your joy. I really want to thank you, obviously, for your time today, taking the time to sit and chat and really share with the listeners of The Inspired Evolution all about happiness, but also not just today, you know, everything that has come along with the message in yourself and your journey in the past and everything that, you know, you've done, not just for us, but also like the Mind Valley community, but also just everybody and for yourself and your family. So thank you so much for how you show up. And yeah, the time coming forward as well, just wishing you all the best always and blessings on the journey.
Thank you so much for the interview, and thank you for the questions, because I was a little bit worried, like I don't want to repeat what I was talking about. So it's interesting you gave a different perspective, ask things where that made me think. So thank you so much. It was exciting.
Yo.
Hey tribe, thanks for tuning in to another fun, enlightening episode of The Inspired Evolution. I've been loving all the feedback and personal stories of love, health and growth. Your feedback and stories are incredibly welcome. The easiest way to connect with me is via my website, which is www.amrit-sandhu.com. You can leave me a message or a comment. It's one of my highest values to connect, so I love to connect and love to hear from you. You can also find me on Facebook, Amrit Sandhu. And if the content has been resonating with you, you can help The Inspired Evolution out in a big way by liking the YouTube channel, subscribing to The Inspired Evolution, or the Facebook page, like that please, at The Inspired Evolution, or by leaving a review on iTunes if you're on an Apple device. And also, if the Inspired Evolution episodes are inspiring an evolution within you, or you can feel the inspiration is valuable for your team to evolve to the next level, you can head on over to www.amrit-sandhu.com to see how the Inspired Evolution can help you and your team thrive. Much love, tribe.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.